Welcome, everyone, to episode 8 of the Arizona Pulse podcast, a podcast in support of the online digital magazine, The Arizona Pulse, produced by the Arizona Medical Association. My name is Damian Johnson, and I'll be your host. In episode 8, I sit down and talk with Tom Leggett, Director of Business Development at Sonora Quest Laboratories. We discuss their new COVID-19 pool testing that is being utilized in K-12 schools across Arizona. Before we dive into our interview with Tom, we'd like to mention that this episode is brought to you by the Arizona Medical Association, otherwise known as ARMA. ARMA works to empower physicians, move medicine, and shape care. Visit azmed.org to learn more. And now, let's jump right in to our interview with Tom. Welcome, everyone, to episode 8 of the Arizona Pulse podcast. I will be your host, Damian Johnson, and I have the pleasure of sitting down with Tom Leggett, Director of Business Development at Sonora Quest Laboratories. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Damian. I appreciate you having us here.
Definitely. So why don't we get started with have you do a quick little introduction of who you are, who Tom is, and what you do for Sonora Quest.
I'm Tom Leggett. I am the Director of Business Development for Sonora Quest Labs. That entails a whole bunch of stuff, but primarily my job is to look at the ever-evolving marketplace in healthcare, look at where there are needs, and try and develop solutions for those needs, either by developing programs internally or by reaching out and working with vendors that have solutions for those needs.
Great. Well, we're excited to have you on the show today. Today, we're going to be talking about a newer program at Sonora Quest for the COVID-19 pool testing that was launched the beginning of this semester, correct?
It was actually launched in the spring, but right towards the end of spring. So it didn't have much traction in spring. And then summer was summer, right? I mean, yeah. there were a lot of schools that were open. And we did get actually more traction in the summer, and then in the fall, it's taken off.
Great. So this is essentially your first full semester that you guys will have had the program implemented.
That's correct. Yes.
So how did this program come about?
Back in March of 2021, President Biden dedicated $10 billion to the National Testing Access Program, or better known as NTAP. And that was for school testing, K-12. And of that, $219 million went to the Arizona Department of Health Services for that program. We had been in discussions with Mara Aspinall. Mara was leading the NTAP program. She's out of the Rockefeller Foundation. She's also a teacher over at ASU in the Biomedical Diagnostics Division over there. And we kind of asked her what good looked like, you know, what are the attributes that a good school program is going to need? And she really defined what that was as, number one, they have to be accurate tests. Number two, it has to be really easy to implement. And that was really key. Number three, it has to be cost effective. Number four, it has to have a fast turnaround time. Number five, preferably it would ensure anonymity of the students to any entities outside of the schools, like us. For the pool testing that we get, we have no idea who these kids are and teachers are that are in the pools. And that's the way we want it, quite honestly. So that was kind of the genesis of everything right there. Now, Sonora Quest Lab, we're a big laboratory. I think we do a really good job for testing for the state. But we work with doctors. We work with doctors' offices and hospitals, and you know they know what they're doing. They know how to order tests. They have EMR systems in their offices. They get results back through the EMRs. That's our model, right? That's our business model. Schools are a whole different entity. So when thinking about how we were going to approach the schools, it was pretty clear to us that we didn't have the platform to be able to do that by ourselves. And so we looked at the different vendors that were out there in the marketplace that were doing things in other states. And I think the East Coast got off a little bit quicker than we did out here. And the company Ginkgo Bioworks was doing a phenomenal job out there with their platform. And so we partnered with them, and we have been absolutely thrilled to have that partnership because they are great at what they do. You know, everything that I just mentioned, they can help us do. They helped us stand up the pool testings and validate so that now for our pool tests, we can have anywhere from 5 swabs to 25 swabs in one specimen. That's 25 kids and teachers in one specimen. That's a lot, and that's great. And what that does is makes it super easy for a school to collect a classroom. You know, you can collect a classroom in under 10 minutes once a week. So it's not disruptive, and keeps the cost down too, keeps the cost down for the state. So we've been really happy with doing that.
So you mentioned, I want to go back to something you mentioned there. You said it needs to be really easy, this program.
Yes.
And so, I mean, obviously SonarQuest, you are a very large organization, have, you know, all over the Valley, all over Arizona, from my understanding, but you're not putting lab technicians in every school, right? Like how you had to make this easy for them to collect themselves there, or?
It would be easy for them to do it. Now, some schools, as you know, Damien, a lot of these schools, just during normal times, they're stressed to the max. Teachers are, you know, they're tapped out. You add COVID on top of that, and they're over their red line, right? They're crazy. So trying to get people to implement a testing solution, it better be super, super easy. So we don't put lab technicians in there, but we do put collectors in there to help with the processing of these specimens, if that's something that the schools need. Some schools feel fine doing it themselves. Other schools, especially larger schools, will request those people. And that is something that the Department of Health Services has been willing to pay for. So yeah, we do put people out there to do that.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Considering staffing shortages, teacher shortages already has been a hot topic for years now here in Arizona, and then to add something, you know, to responding to COVID, but then to add pooled testing onto it as well. So I think it's good to hear for the audience to know that the resources are out there. Or if there's a school or a teacher that ends up listening to this episode, or a physician whose child goes to a school that's not doing testing yet, and they want to bring this to their attention, just to know that those resources are available and that it's easy to implement and the extra hands are there too for them. So that's good to know.
Right. And in comparison to like any kind of normal testing where you would have to fill out a requisition for each person who's being tested, or if you're using antigen testing, you've got one card per person, and that takes a long time. I mean, imagine testing a school with 1,000 individuals in it with antigen testing. Just, it's not going to work well. It's going to be super disruptive to that school's flow. With the pool testing, however, it is very, very simple. Really, all of our the kids are actually collecting themselves. It's very simple. And then, you know, what the collectors are doing is actually going around to each classroom and picking up the specimens and putting them in a box. And then our couriers are going that same day to pick the specimens up and bring that back to the lab so that we can have those results back to that school by 8 a.m. the next morning.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. We're really happy with it.
Sounds like a pretty well-oiled machine that I'm sure took a lot of work to get to that point, though.
There's an army of people that have worked on this thing. I can tell you that.
Yeah. The program's been around throughout this year, essentially. We talked a little bit about how it launched last spring, went through the summer, and this is the first full semester of it. How is the program doing so far?
It's doing well. We have about 318 schools that are enrolled now, sending us specimens. I think there's something like 2,200 schools in the state, though. So I think we still have a lot of room to get going. It has been difficult for us in as much as the Arizona Department of Health Services has really asked that we not go on media. We don't go out and actively market this through media. So that has kind of held us back. But we can take inbound calls, right? If a reporter calls us, or, you know, if you guys reach out to us, we can work with you guys, because we can't say, no, we can't talk about it, right? So it's been a little tough getting the word out on this. But at this point, we're enrolling anywhere between, I'd say, 12 to 20 schools a week now. And it's pretty much all word of mouth, because, you know, people in one school are talking about it with their friends who might be in another school, and they're saying, no, it's really easy. It's actually really easy. So it's creeping and crawling around, and word is getting out.
That's good to hear. I mean, I know I've seen a couple of articles here and there, but you're right. It has not been, I mean, it makes sense now after you mentioned not proactively promoting the program, but obviously responding to those. Because we thought this would be a great opportunity to get the information out there. And obviously here at the Arizona Medical Association that produces this podcast, we, you know, represent physicians across Arizona, and testing and COVID-19 mitigation and bringing down the spread and trying to respond as appropriately as possible to the pandemic is a top priority for us here. So it's great to see that this program exists, and we're excited to have you on the show and be able to share it with the audience as well.
Yeah, again, thank you for the opportunity.
So are there any plans? Obviously, you mentioned that I guess I shouldn't say slowly, because I don't understand the whole background on the implementation, but are there plans for growth, expansion of this program outside of what you're currently doing now? Or let me ask you, I'll ask another question as well and follow up to it. Have any new programs come about from the implementation of this as well? What new ideas? I mean, we saw, especially in 2020, the COVID-19 information and the studies, and it was every hour you had to check to make sure that you were up to date on things for a while there, just because of how quickly information was flowing and new information was coming out. So I'm curious to know, you know, do you plan for expansion of this program? Let's start with that.
Right. So for the K-12 program, for the school testing program, again, we are enrolling schools every week. But more than that, I think what the schools are trying to do to boost the number of specimens and the number of kids being tested is getting the parents to opt in, because it is an opt-in program. Right. And right now, I think the opt-in rate is somewhere in the 20% range. And we hope to be able to get that higher, obviously. And, you know, with that, there'll be better success, better security for the kids, and, you know, try and make sure that we can keep them all in school. I think there's been a little bit of hesitancy from some parents, not understanding the program, not understanding, you know, worried that we're going to sell kids' DNA information or things like that. Again, I can't stress enough, we have no idea whose specimens these are when they come in, and nor do we sell any of the information we get, right? We basically test it for COVID, and then I think we store it for a couple months, and then we toss the specimens, we burn them up. So that data is not going anywhere. Except to the Department of Health Services, right? We do report back to the Department of Health Services in terms of positivity rate.
Yeah, I'm glad you cleared that up a little bit and at least touched on that, because we are living in a world of misinformation, especially given social media and all the different theories that are going around out there. And one of the things that we try to do here as a voice for physicians is to make sure that the health experts remain the trusted source for information and know exactly. I mean, there's transparency across the board, and individuals know what's going on and what's going to happen with their information as well as their testing. And that this program is really there for good, to reduce the spread of it. And I think that there's key message there with that. Definitely.
Yeah. It's I don't know if we want to go down that rabbit hole or not, but yeah, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and it's a shame. It's too bad, because it's a good program, and it's there to keep kids in safe. Excuse me. It's there to keep kids in school and keep them healthy, period.
So are there any other programs in the works right now for Sonora Quest Lab, as far as pooled testing or any other programs for the community in response to COVID-19, as it's not going away anytime soon? We're obviously still fighting the good fight on it with vaccinations and treatments and such as well. But obviously the number one thing is to be vaccinated, to wear your mask out in public, but also to be tested to make sure that you know what your status is for that so that we are not continuing to spread it without knowing. So right. Is there any other plans at Sonora Quest right now?
I think the big move right now is for employer testing because of the, you know, the recent mandates. Employers are going to have to get those unvaccinated individuals tested. And so we're looking for ways to do that with pool testing. It's fast. It's super accurate because we're using PCR methodology, gold standard. And when you're doing pool testing, it's really inexpensive. I mean, you can get it down there to, $12, $15 a person. So we're building a program for that right now and starting to market it.
Awesome. So are you currently doing any pool testing in the work environments now, or are you just in the building phases as of right now for the program?
We are starting next week with a hospital system here in Arizona, a large hospital.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Beyond that, we have started to market to some of the larger employers out there, employers that have 1,500 or more employees, because they're the guys who definitely are going to have a high number, you know, overall of unvaccinated people. And so it makes the most sense to start there.
Yeah, I think that would definitely help with, because I know here at ARMA, we've been back in the office for a little while, but I have some friends, family members who they've gone in, gone out, gone in, gone out. There've been a lot of back and forth as to whether or not the decision's been to be back in the office or not. So I think offering this program to those major corporations, those large businesses here in Arizona would be beneficial to getting people back in the office if that's what their job requires of them.
Right. So, yeah, especially the manufacturers, meatpacking plants and, you know, places like that where people don't have the choice to work from home, right? They have to go and perform. So you want to keep those lines safe. You want to make sure that everybody's healthy on those lines. And so that's what we're trying to do.
So one of my last questions for you, Tom, here is I've heard a little bit, we've obviously heard about the pool testing going on here in Arizona, but I've also heard about antigen testing. And I wanted to ask you, why did you, or what made Sonora Quest decide to do pool testing versus antigen testing in the schools?
Well, first, I think antigen testing is important, and I think it has a place. I think if you're testing people that are going into a venue for a sporting event or for a concert, it's great to know at that time, you know, if they're positive, and positive in such a way that they're going to be contagious, right? But in a school, where you're testing everybody who's already sitting together, and you're using an antigen card, and you find somebody who's positive, basically what that's telling you, you're locking the barn door after the horse has already left, right? Yeah, that kid's positive. Now who else is positive in that room? And the difference there would be that with PCR testing, you have a lower limit of detection. So we can find small traces of virus in somebody before they're positive and identify them so that you catch it before that spread starts to happen, before they're contagious. It's also the same fact as we discussed earlier, pool testing is super easy to implement, and antigen testing where you're doing a card on every single kid, that's a bear. That's tough, super disruptive. Even if you have people there that are helping you do it, it's just incredibly disruptive. So I think those are the two main reasons why the state decided to go with pool testing over antigen testing.
Yeah, that makes sense because obviously they're there to teach. Teaching is the number one reason why the kids are in school, why we need to have kids back in the classroom. So with the recent news, especially this week that came out about the COVID vaccine being approved for ages 5 to 11 as well, what are your thoughts on, what is Sonora Quest's thoughts on that, the addition of the vaccine? Obviously, it's going to be helpful. We feel it's definitely important to get the younger population vaccinated since so that way they're not as vulnerable as they have been to the disease. Will that mess with any of the pool testing as they're with getting vaccinated?
I mean, it very well may. You know, if a parent decides that they want their child to be vaccinated, then they may not at that point want that child to participate in pool testing. And that's okay. I mean, this is all up to the parent in terms of how they how they want to manage their child's health. Right. We're not here to tell them what to do. We're here to support them in their decisions. So I fully support anybody that wants their child to be vaccinated. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think it's important to also cover that vaccines are not 100% either. So I think it's important for the audience to know too that it's definitely helpful, and it's keeping people out of the hospitals. It's keeping people safer in general, as well as not spreading it too. Because I know personally people that have been vaccinated and have still gotten COVID with the new strains that are coming out, but they were able to get over it in a few days being home. So I think it's important for the audience to know that as well.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I also hear a lot of people saying, yeah, but why are we so concerned about the kids? Why are we testing the kids? Why are we vaccinating the kids? Kids do really well if they do get COVID. Generally speaking, they recover extremely well. And I think that's true, but I don't think people are thinking that through, because, you know, these children are going home to, in some cases, multi-generational family dwellings, right? And that's it's interesting, because I think that's what makes a lot of this go around is the schools. I was talking to Ken Kamatsu, who is our state epidemiologist, and asking him if we were going to have flu this year. Because, you know, flu never really showed up last year, right? Mm-hmm. Flu AB. And I was like, okay, Ken, what's happening? We're trying to plan it. We have a new test that tests for both COVID and flu, because it's tough to differentiate just based on symptoms, right?
Right.
And trying to gauge what kind of volume we're going to get on that test and whether flu is going to show up. And he's like, well, yeah, kids are going to be back in school. So yeah, there's going to be a flu season. Just right there. That was it. That was his determining factor. So we'll see if that holds true. It's coming up here at the end of this month.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Well, Tom, it's been great having you on here. You know, I'd like to close out by asking where people can go to learn more about this program.
There is a website. If you go to Concentric by Ginkgo, Concentric by BY, Ginkgo, GINKGO.com. That's a website built by Ginkgo that you can go to and get more information, and actually you can register schools if you go there. Or you can email me to Tom.Leggett, my last name is L-E-G-G-E-T-T, at SonoraQuest, SonoraQuest.com. And I'll be happy to give you the introductions to the folks over at Ginkgo and get you some information.
We'll be sure to include that link as well in the show notes, so we can link directly over to it. So for those that did not catch the full spelling, and we'll include also link over to the article that has a lot more of this information on our website, and go from there. So thank you very much, Tom, for participating today. It was great to have you on, and hopefully we can have you back again in the near future.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 8 of the Arizona Pulse podcast. We hope you found the conversation enjoyable and informative. We would like to quickly remind you that this episode is brought to you by the Arizona Medical Association. Visit azmed.org to learn more. Last but never least, be sure to check out our online magazine, The Arizona Pulse, by visiting azpulse.org. Here you will find articles, episodes, and information on the pulse of Arizona's healthcare industry. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for alerts on future episodes, share this episode with a colleague, and show your support on social media. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Arizona Pulse. We'll catch you on our next episode. Stay safe and be well.